Welcome to BibleBap.org and the Sermon Archive Ministry of Bible Baptist Church of Monroe, Georgia. For over 45 years, the Bible has been faithfully preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church each week. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reminds us that it is by the preaching of the Word of God that men and women are saved. We trust you will be blessed and encouraged by the preaching ministry of our senior pastor, Greg Butler, the church staff, and guests who fill the pulpit at Bible Baptist Church. Let's open our Bibles now as God's Word is opened and preached to us.
Open with me this morning, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. We're so thankful for all of our guests who've come to worship the Lord with us at Bible Baptist today, and we hope that Mother's Day will not be the last time that you come to worship the Lord with us here. We're glad that you're here. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. Please follow with me in your Bible as I begin reading. The Word of God says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Would you please bow with me and pray? Father, I believe that you have something very special for us from your word this morning. And I pray that Satan would not be able to hinder that, but I pray today that we would be able to receive the blessing. Lord, that our hearts would be encouraged, that we might be directed in our lives. And Lord, if there's someone that has never accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that this might be the glad hour when they receive him as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. It was just before Mother's Day 2 years ago that our family began to notice some symptoms with my mother, something that signaled that there was something concerning my mom that was just not quite right. Nothing that you would call a major problem, but it seemed that somehow she was unusually tired and even maybe just a little bit detached. The Saturday before Mother's Day, Judy and I went by my mom's house. We took her a corsage for the next day. We took her a Mother's Day card. And we noticed in her behavior that day that indeed there was something that we couldn't put a finger on, but it just wasn't quite right. But I think that we probably, in our minds, were just trying to attribute it to the fact that my dad had passed away on Father's Day the previous year, and Mother was going through the grieving process, and we more or less just passed that off. But on Mother's Day and the following days, even our children and their spouses began to notice there was something unusual about Mother's behavior. And we met together and we talked, and we all agreed that after our traditional Sunday night meal following church the next Sunday, that Judy and I would stay alone and I would talk with my mom and recommend that she see a doctor, and let's try to get to the root of the problem. So we had our Sunday night supper. We've done that for years. Mom would cook supper on Sunday night after church, and we all met together. And so after everybody went home but Judy and me, I talked with my mom in her kitchen, and I said, "Mother, there's something that's wrong, and we can't quite put our finger on it, but we believe something's wrong with you, and you need to see a doctor." And my mom said, "You're right. I can tell that there's something wrong, and I can't tell you exactly what it is, but I know that I just don't feel right." And so we agreed that the next day she would talk to Dr. Howell's office and make an appointment to go in to see him. So Dr. Howell's office set up they scheduled a time for her to come, and I had an appointment that day, but Stephen said, "Well, I'll take Grandma to the doctor, and we'll see what's going on." And Stephen had not had my mom in the office very long till he called me, and he said, "Dad, you need to meet us at the emergency room. Dr. Howell thinks that the Grandmama is very sick and has possibly had likely had a stroke." And that started us on a journey for the next 5.5 months. They decided within 24 hours after testing that my mom had not had a stroke, but in fact my mother had a glioblastoma, a brain tumor. Dr. Howell said, "You need to see a neurosurgeon right away." So an appointment was made. My brother, who pastors in Charleston, came. We took my mom to see a neurosurgeon in Athens, and he looked at all the data that had been received from tests that had been done before our arrival. And he said, "If this is what," and he was very frank with us. He said, "If this is what I suspect that it is," and he said, I'm pretty sure that I know what this is. He said, "This is a glioblastoma, but to add to what you already know," he said, "this is also inoperable." He said, "We will not know until we do a biopsy." So arrangements were made to take my mother just a few days later to Athens Regional Center. And she had the surgery. They cut open a portion of her skull. They took a sample of the mass that was there. And I'll never forget when the surgeon came out of the operating room to talk with Tim and me. And he said, "We will be able to tell you for certain in 24, 48 hours when the lab result comes back." But he said, having seen what I have just seen, he said, "I'm virtually certain that my original diagnosis was right." And so I asked the doctor, and Tim asked the doctor, "Well, what is the road that we're on? What are we looking at?" And he began to tell us some symptoms, some things that we would see. I think the thing that struck me most difficulty was, he said, in the process, he said, "Your mother is going to lose the ability to communicate with you." He began to tell us about weakness that she would experience, decreasing appetite, things like that. And he said, "I'm going to tell you, by the size of this growth that's in your mom's brain, I think probably she will have between 4 and 6 months to live." And so after a few days, mother was well enough following the biopsy that we took mom home from the hospital. The lab result had come back, and it confirmed what the neurosurgeon had told us. And we began making preparations for my mom to go to be with the Lord. During that time, the people of Bible Baptist Church did everything that you can imagine to help our family. I look back now, a year and a half after mother's going to heaven, and I still cannot think of one thing that the people of our church did not do for our family: to support us, to help us, to be there. You know, churches today take a lot of criticism. Churches today take a lot of criticism from people who say, "Well, my church wasn't there when I need them." Well, I want to tell you something about Bible Baptist Church and that experience of our family. Bible Baptist Church was there. It was not members of our church saying, "We'll be thinking about you." I mean, our people were there. I had Miss Darla to come to me, and she said, "Brother Greg, I've got ladies of the church coming to me wanting to know how they can help you." And so every morning, Monday through Friday, I would feed mom, get things ready to leave the house, and I'd be ready to leave to come to the church. And every morning at 9 o'clock, I had a lady from Bible Baptist Church that showed up that was going to sit with my mother the entire day, do anything for her that needed to be done. And in many occasions, when I'd get home after 5 o'clock in the evening, our supper would be prepared. And our people were absolutely wonderful. When it got down to the place where that following Labor Day weekend, My mom could no longer walk. She had suffered, she began to suffer the seizures, which was another thing the doctor told us would take place. We realized that we're going to have to change something in the way that, mother was cared for. And Miss Lisa came, and she cared for my mom and was so good to my mom. And then on Saturday, so that Judy and I could get out and buy groceries, do things we needed to do, Miss Nancy would call, and she'd say, "Can I help you?" She said, "I won't be working Saturday. Can I come on Saturday?" She would come stay with my mom. And what a blessing our church has been. On November the 7th of 2008, on a Friday morning, my mom went to be with the Lord. And among the wonderful, wonderful heritage that my brother and I and our family have had passed down to us were the Bibles that our parents had used. And one of the Bibles that I have from my mom is the last Bible that she used. And so this morning I want to bring an unusual Mother's Day message. Not a long message, but I just want to bring you a message this morning from my mother's Bible. This is the kind of message that a preacher never gets to preach a second time. A lot of times you'll study and you'll go somewhere else, preach a message somewhere else, or wait and preach it here several years later. This is the kind of message I told my brother yesterday. I talked to him. I said, this is a message I'll preach once in my life. But I want to tell you about the treasures that I have discovered in my mother's Bible. I decided in 2010 that I wanted to do something different in my daily Bible readings. Instead of using one of my Bibles that I had marked and put notes in and that kind of thing, I decided I was going to take Mother's Bible. And I was going to read the notes that my mother wrote in her Bible. I was going to look at the things that she put in her Bible. So I want to say something to you this morning about the treasures I found in my mother's Bible. If you have your Bible there, turn with me over there now from 2 Timothy. Go with me to the book of Psalms. I go to the book of Psalms, and I've done this because my mother's favorite book of the Bible was the book of Psalms. Being a musician, church musician for all these years, I think that's pretty natural there. But my mom served as a church pianist for about 60 years. So we're in the book of Psalms this morning, and I just want to tell you about some treasures I found related to the message. I want to share with you just a few marginal notes that my mom had made here. In Psalm number 3 and verse number 8, my mom had underlined the first word of Psalm 3 and verse number 8, which says, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah." In other words, think about it. And out in the margin, beside the word salvation, my mom had underlined the word salvation, but then she wrote the meaning of salvation. She wrote deliverance, victory, freedom. The most precious conversation that I ever had with my mom was when I was a teenage boy. My dad was working late at night. He worked at Foot and Davies up at Dorville, working second shift. And so I remember one night, my mom told me about when she met the Lord. She told me how she was saved. She told me how that she was a young mother. She was 17 years old when I was born. And she told me they were having service at church one night. And she said, "I was holding you there." And she said, "We got up to sing the invitation song." And she said, my heart was pounding. She said, "I was under conviction because I knew I needed to be saved." And she said, as the invitation was given, she said, it just the conviction of the Holy Spirit was so strong, she said, "I felt like if I didn't get saved that night, I'd never have another opportunity." And she said, I took you and I handed you to Miss Beulah Day, the elderly lady from our church. She said, "I put you in the arms of Miss Beulah Day, and Miss Beulah held you, so I went to the altar, so I could go to the altar, and my mom got saved." That was precious when I came to Psalm 3 and verse number 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And Mom wrote about what salvation is. Salvation is deliverance from the guilt of our sin. Salvation is victory that is everlasting. It is freedom from the chains that Satan binds us with. But that was a sweet note that I found in my mom's Bible. Go with me over, if you would, in the book of Psalms to Psalm number 68 for just a moment and look at verse number 20. Psalm 68 and verse number 20. The verse says here in Psalm 68:20, "He that is our God is the God of salvation." Aren't you glad? "And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death." And Mom had underlined the word issues here, and out in the margin she wrote the word boundaries. You see, my mom understood that not only is the Lord Jesus our Savior, but He's our keeper. And it's the Lord Jesus that holds the boundaries of our lives. That's why the Scripture says that God made us a promise that He'll work all things together for good to those that know Him and love Him. And then a few pages over to the right in Psalm number 78 and verse number 38, my mom had a note here. Psalm 78:38, "But He being full of compassion." Do you understand what compassion is? Compassion is when God feels your pain in His heart. When God senses your need, when God feels that for us. "He being full of compassion forgave their iniquity." And Mom had underlined the word forgave, and out beside forgave in the margin, she wrote cover. God covers our iniquity. Mom understood that in the Christian life, we're not always what we're supposed to be. The best day of your life as a Christian still falls far short of the perfection of the Lord Jesus. But aren't you glad the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, covers and cleanses us from our sin? Then my mom went on in her Bible. She underlined some other things that I thought were precious there and put some notes out in the margin. In Psalm 118, verse number 9, she just put a note out of the margin that said this, "Middle verse of the Bible." And it is. Now, I went on through reading notes that my mom had written. One that's kind of applicable because I've been preaching through the book of the Revelation for several months now, and we're preaching about Bible prophecy, what the Bible says about the end times. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, my mom had made a note beside verse number 17 when the Scripture says, "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Mom had written two notes in the margin of her Bible there about the rapture. Number one, beside the words "caught up," she wrote the Latin word "rapto," because that's the word from which we get our word rapture. But then she wrote something else there where it says, "together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And she underscored the word "meet," and she put a note in the margin of her Bible that says, "The word meet conveys the idea of coming into the presence of a royal person." And folks, if we are part of the rapture generation, or if we're part of those who die in Christ and then our souls come to be reunited with the body to be resurrected when Jesus comes again, whatever the case may be, we're going to be in the presence of royal Jesus, the King of Kings. But Mom had made some notes like that, and they were a blessing to me. Mother underlined some verses where she didn't write any notes in her Bible. She just underlined some things, like Psalm number 9 and verse number 17. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." You know, only a spiritually blind person today fails to see that our nation is on the slippery slope toward destruction. Our problem in America this morning is we have forgotten God. We've done what Psalm 9, verse number 17 warned us not to do, when it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." We have forgotten God and our heritage. If you go back and read the 200 plus years of our heritage, you see the writings of the early explorers. Have you read the diary of Christopher Columbus when he tells why he came in search of these new shores? Those early settlers. What about the Magna Carta? You go back and you read our historical documents, the documents of our heritage. They tell you why the majority of people came to this land. You go back and read the writings of the founders of the nation. Read our government documents. Read our Constitution. Read our Declaration of Independence. They declare that our trust is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord to build and sustain this nation. You read the early writings of our courts. Early writings of our courts declared this is a Christian nation. But America's forgotten our heritage. We have forgotten the honor that God bestowed upon this nation. Folks, God has raised the United States of America to be honored more than any nation on the face of the earth. But we have forgotten who made us great. We have forgotten why America was great. We have forgotten our honor, and we've also forgotten in our nation, many folks have forgotten the hope for seeing our nation healed. Folks, there's hope for our nation to be healed. The Lord said, if my people, it doesn't start with the wicked, it starts in the church. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Mom had underlined that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. She underlined that in Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? She underlined that in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. My mother underlined that in Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Mom underlined that in Psalm 30 and verse number 5, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Mom underlined that in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Mom underlined Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I remember one of the occasions when I heard my mother praising the Lord. The choir had just learned that song, He's an On-Time God. My mom was the legal guardian for her brother, Jimmy. Jimmy was had the mentality of about a three-year-old. At that time, he was about 60-some years old. And he lived with mom and dad for years. They took care of him. But Jimmy's body began to fail on him, and Jimmy got to where that he couldn't walk, and he needed to be in a wheelchair. And none of the door openings in their house were big enough to get that oversized wheelchair through. And mom said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And she said, we need to pray. And I remember so well when we received a call and said, there's a room open, there's a private room open at Park Place Nursing Facility that mother could get to in about 5 minutes from our house. And she was there at least once a day, if not twice a day, seeing about Jimmy. But there was a place where Jimmy could be taken care of. And I remember my mom praising the Lord and saying, he is an on-time God. We serve an on-time God. Psalm 34:19, she underlined, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Mother underlined in her Bible, Psalm 37, beginning in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Mom believed in the integrity and the reliability of the Lord. She had verses throughout the Bible, not just in Psalms, but she had verses throughout the Bible that were underlined. What a blessing. One that she underlined was Psalm 119:130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And I thought about how that played out in our lives, because when I was growing up, when my brother and I were growing up in our home, the last activity of the night in our home was for our family to come together either in one of the bedrooms or come together in the den, and one of us would take the Bible and we would read Scripture together, and then one of us would lead the family in prayer. And I thought, Mom, you live that. The Bible says the entrance of God's Word giveth light. And Mom, you believe that. And that's what you taught us. She underlined Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And Mother understood, if you want to get a measurement, if you want to get a benchmark for where you are in maturity as a Christian, ask the question, what does it take to offend you? In a world where people wear their feelings on their shoulders, the Scripture says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 122:1, she underlined, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. My mom supported my dad in leading our family to worship the Lord in the church. Faithfulness in church was a high priority when Tim and I were growing up. And it didn't matter whose team was playing ball. It didn't matter what was coming on television. I never did get to see Lassie in the first go-round because it came on during church on Sunday night. I had to watch it in reruns when Joel and Stephen were little boys. It didn't matter who said they were coming to visit. If it was important, they'd wait till we got home from church. I understand why she underlined that verse. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I realized that Mom and Dad had definite goals in mind for what Tim and I were to become, and that's why they raised us the way that they did. Mother has a notepad in this Bible. I discovered a notepad here. And here she's got an outline here. Dr. Paul Chappell preached a Bible conference at Tim's church in March, before she was diagnosed with a brain tumor in May of 08. And Mom and I went to the Bible conference, and Dr. Paul Chappell preached. She's got his sermon outline recorded on the notes there. Dr. Renee Willett, you see him in The Sword of the Lord, he also preached in that conference. She's got his outline here. One of his outlines he preached on why I'm not worried about the contemporary church. She's got an outline. I don't know who preached it. I'm gonna find out, though. I'm going to preach it later. She's got a sermon here, the full outline of a sermon on worry. She's got an outline recorded here on how you hinder the gospel. She's got a sermon outline here on what makes a biblical church. She's got a list of 40 verses of Scripture, and I have no idea why she wrote all these down. But specific Scripture references, she wrote all them down. But there is a note beside John chapter 6 and verse number 66. And beside that verse, she just said, ask Greg. Mother took to heart 2 Timothy 2:15, where the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. By the way, Brother Don McHugh, you preached that on May the 30th, 1999, because it's written down there. And I preached it on May the 23rd, 2004. She wrote that down too. There's treasures related to the message. Quickly, let me mention, there are treasures related to the messengers. I told Tim yesterday, it is astounding the number of preachers whose names are written beside text of Scriptures in her Bible. She tells who preached it, what verses they preached, and what date they preached it. And I just started reading through her Bible earlier this year, so I haven't gotten all the way through. But so far, I found where she had that I preached, my brother Tim preached, her grandson Stephen preached, Brother Don McHugh preached, Bruce Northam preached, Harold Leake, Alan Harris, Jack Shuler, Steve Sparks, Clyde Kendall, David Warren, Jim Van Gelderen. She had notes for all those messages we heard when we went to the Bible conference at First Baptist Church, Jacksonville, Florida, 2005, that included Bobby Welch, Johnny Hunt, Junior Hill, Fred Luter, David Allen, Jerry Vines, and one of her favorites was David Jeremiah. She had the notes noting that Dr. Chappell had preached. I mentioned that to you at the conference at Tim's church 2 months before she was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Until Friday, I thought the last entrance that she had made in her Bible was when Philip Ivey preached from Hebrews chapter 10 on April the 9th, 2008. But when I did yesterday's daily Bible reading, I found a note where I had preached in Judges chapter number 16 on April the 13th before she was diagnosed the next month with a brain tumor. But my mom respected and she honored the men that preached the Word of God and fed her soul. She understood Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation. She understood verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not grief, for that is unprofitable for you. She understood that. She reverenced and she honored those who fed her soul with the Word of God. Many were the times she and my dad invited preachers over before or after services to feed them. One of the funniest occasions when we had a preacher over at our home was when we had Ben Alpert. Ben Alpert's a Christian Jew. And Ben traveled with the Friends of Israel. He'd go and he'd preach prophecy conferences and he'd preach and give people an insight on what it was like to grow up a Jew and then to accept Christ as your Messiah and so forth. And one night after the service, Mother said, we need to have Brother Alpert over to the home. We're going to feed him. And so Ben Alpert, this Jew, had never had chicken stew. And he ate chicken stew. And then he began to tell us how Jewish mothers would feed chicken broth to their children when they're sick because they believe that it promoted good health there. And Ben Alpert had never heard the phrase at the dinner table before until he heard it that night. I'm about to pop. And that got to be a source. We'd see Ben, see him somewhere at a Sword of the Lord conference somewhere, and Ben would see us coming. He'd say, about to pop. I remember one time, this was nearly 50 years ago, we had a pastor, and the pastor had, he and his wife had a house full of kids and not much money. And the pastor's wife had just had a new baby, and I mean she had her hands full. And Mother recognized the preacher and his wife were struggling. And so we had a Volkswagen, had one of those Beetles. I told somebody the other day, we had a Beetle, and to show you how things were in 1961, four of us went to Daytona Beach, Florida, and Tim and I sat in the back of a Volkswagen Beetle all the way to Daytona, Florida, and all the way back with no air conditioning. But I remember Mother took that Volkswagen, didn't call it a Beetle then, they just called it a Volkswagen. She took that Volkswagen over to the pastor's house, and except for the baby, she loaded up their kids in that car. She brought them back to our house. She gave them all a bath. She put clean clothes on all of them. And then she took them back to the preacher's house. But she loved and she appreciated those who preached the Word of God and fed her soul. There were not only the names of the pastors and evangelists, there was the names of missionaries that she heard speak. Philip Allen, Bob Himes, Bill Haig, David Livingston, Mike Kelly Jr., Jay Markey, Johann Yamalamudi, Mark Sutherland, David Finley, Jason Fitch, Al Montgomery, Milton Nunes, David Bentley, Jay Roth, Dr. R.G. Smith, Robert Thigpen, Torin Dismuke, Rob Westlake, and an interesting note there, Mike Higgins from the Hope Children's Home on March the 30th of 2008. That's the last missionary speaker's name I've come to. The interesting thing about that night was when this brother brought the kids from the children's home and they came and had the service that night and he preached. After that, we were asking for volunteers who can take children from the children's home to your house, feed them, give them a bath, get them ready to get on the bus the next morning and go on their tour. And Mom took two of those kids from the children's home that night. And she provided them a place in her home. And Tim had come up to visit from Charleston. And they had a big time that night with those kids in the children's home watching the NCAA basketball tournament. But my mom had a heart for missions. And even after Daddy went to heaven in June, Father's Day of 2007, she continued to give above her tithe every month to support missionaries of Bible Baptist Church. She also had the names, talking about names there of people that spoke, she had the names of lay people from our church that spoke. Brother Gil Decker, do you remember that on February the 14th of 2007, you brought a message in a Wednesday night service in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 16? I believe that'd stand up in court. Brother Dennis Fitch, my mom wrote down that stuff. There were treasures related to the message, the treasures related to the messengers, treasures related to music. One of the precious things, I've got so many of these, the list of songs, because she was a church pianist for about 60 years, and she wrote down the names of preludes, songs she was going to play before services started. And then also she supplied music for funerals and weddings and that kind of thing. And here's a list. She's at this particular before service, she was going to play, "Leave It There," "I Must Tell Jesus," "Does Jesus Care," "When They Ring Those Golden Bells," "Face to Face with Christ My Savior," "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," "And I Won't Have to Cross Jordan Alone," "And Beulah Land," "Amazing Grace," and "The Haven of Rest." My mother loved the choir. And one of the precious things I found in the back of her Bible, Brother Stephen gives out CDs when he wants a choir to learn new songs. Choir CD number 2 for 2008. She was working on this when she was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Faithful in the choir. But there were treasures related to the music, treasures related to the church membership. She had written things down like, 1994, 4th Sunday, February, we entered the new church building debt-free. Grandson Stephen, licensed to preach, June the 6th, 2004. Had a sweet card written to her by Sister Frances Pope about 3 months after my dad died. She kept it. Note that the senior adult Sunday school class was planning a breakfast trip for January the 5th, 2008. Note that Tanya Cootie was going to be given a surprise birthday party February 23rd from 2 until 4 o'clock. There's a post-it note here in the front of her Bible, and this was so like my mother, because my mother liked to help folks that were in need of meals and stuff. Be sure to prepare food for Ruby Brooks. Miss Ruby is getting up in age, and she wanted to prepare a meal for her and feed her. There's a handwritten prayer list. I'm not talking about the published list that we give out on Wednesday nights. There's a handwritten prayer list, things she's prayed about. Joyce Toler having knee surgery Friday. Note here, pray for Mary Edmondson. She's fallen. Treasures related to the church membership. The last thing I mentioned to you, treasures related to the ministry. There is a handwritten piece of paper. It's my handwriting. But my mom wanted me to write down verses you need to lead somebody to Christ, just so she could remember it. I remember the first time I ever led somebody to Jesus. Greenville, South Carolina. I called her on the phone. I was so excited. I said, I led somebody to Christ. She said, I know something about that joy. And she told me about the first person she ever helped lead to Christ. Things that were important to my mom. She's got things stuck away in here. She's got a copy of the little gospel tract called The Romans Road Salvation. I've got it here somewhere. She's got a little gospel tract here called Your Life is a Journey. She's got a little gospel tract here called What Will It Take to Make Yours a Merry Christmas? Treasures related to the ministry. Main business of the church is to win people to Christ. These are treasures that I have found in my mom's Bible. Blessed are the mothers who know the Lord and fear Him. Teach their children to do the same. Mothers like Timothy's mother in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Timothy's mother Eunice, his grandmother Lois. And blessed are the children who are privileged to grow up in a home with a Christian mother. Mothers, please never, never, never underestimate your importance. Never, never underestimate how important you are to the rearing of a child, the rearing of a grandchild. It would be difficult to overstate how much you mean to God's plan. Stand with me, please. Musicians, would you come? Just a moment, Brother Stephen's going to lead us while we sing an invitation song. Mothers, could I challenge you this morning? Listen, our nation is desperate. Mothers, could I challenge you this morning to rededicate your lives to the ministry of rearing children for the honor and glory of God? Could I challenge you that are grandmothers? Would you renew your dedication to pray for your children that they'll be godly parents? Would you pray for the salvation of your grandchildren? America needs you. Listen, mothers, America needs you more right now than America has ever needed you, as far as I can see. We're desperate. Our nation is in crisis. And there is no greater need in this nation than Christian mothers and Christian grandmothers answering the call of God upon your lives. Let's pray together.